Well, Merry Christmas once again. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2 in verse 4, which reads as follows. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So to put this scripture in its context, we'll begin reading in Matthew chapter 2 in verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So last week, we took a look at the wise men, or the magi, and this morning we shall look at the chief priests and the scribes. The chief priests and the scribes are not wise men, as we will see. Therefore, the text calls them chief priests and scribes and not wise men. First, we shall have a history lesson, and then we shall turn to our applications. Very brief history lesson on Christmas morning. This Herod was Herod the Great. He commissioned many building projects, most notably the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. That project began in 19 BC and was pretty much completed by the time he died 15 years later. Herod was an Edomite and a nominal Jew. He followed the Jewish customs when it suited him, and he followed the pagan customs when that suited him. He was concerned about his own legacy, his own reputation, his own power, his own popularity, his own political expediency. Now, to these ends, Herod was a paranoid madman, even to the point of ordering the murder of all baby boys in Bethlehem under the age of 2. He had appointed as a high priest Simon, the son of Boethus, who was an Alexandrian Jew. And the reason he appointed him high priest is so that he could marry his daughter, who would become his third wife. This made the high priest Herod's father-in-law. Now, Simon served as high priest until 5 BC, and he was succeeded by his son-in-law, who was married to another of his daughters. Now, why am I telling you all this? These were the men who were in charge of setting the political and religious policy in Israel in the days of Herod the Great, during the time when Jesus was born. These people were Herod's cronies when they were supposed to be God's servants. The purpose of our brief history lesson is to gain insight into the nature of Herod's regime and the leadership of Israel in order to get the broader context of our text, thereby setting up our three applications this morning with regard to the chief priests and the scribes. First, the world had more of them than God did. Secondly, they knew the truth, but they didn't act on it. And third, through their example, they led other people astray. The world had more of them than God did. The chief priests and the scribes were more interested in civic authority and political influence than they were in godly authority and divine influence. I think we all saw quite a bit of that going on in the recent elections, be they national, state, or local. You see, the chief priests and scribes were more at home in Herod's palace than they were in God's presence. These men set their minds on the things of the earth, in practice, esteeming them greater than the things above. So, friend, I ask you, are you more at home at the manger, at the foot of the cross, among holy company? Are you quite comfortable with worldly company, where the only time you hear the name of Jesus is when it's taken in vain? Many are quite diligent to attend to their religious duties. You've come out this morning, and in this you've done quite well. Surely, the chief priests and the scribes were diligent in their religious duties as well. But they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. So you see, it is possible to be a religious person. It is possible to be a churchgoer, to be both of those things, and yet not to be a Christian at all. It is possible, as we said Friday evening, to say, I am a Catholic, or I am a Baptist, or I reject denominational structures, or whatever it is that you say, and not be a Christian. So now we have arrived at our second point. The chief priests and the scribes knew the truth, but they did not act on it. See how quickly they answered. Herod asked them, where was the Christ to be born? And they shot back with the answer. They didn't even have to think about it. They quote Micah chapter 5, verse 2 verbatim, which they had memorized from their youth. They knew the truth. They could quote their scripture frontwards and backwards. They knew where the Christ was to be born. And it had now come to their attention that he was born. And yet they didn't even act on the information. They knew the truth, but they didn't do anything with it. It's as if I gave you the key to my car, and you got the key, and you knew what car it was, and you knew that it would start the car, but you didn't bother to put the car in the ignition. The coming of the Messiah was the most anticipated event in the Old Testament. And those who knew the prophecies concerning his birth failed to act on them when they came to pass. Imagine that. But you say, not me. I would have acted on those prophecies. Really? Did you act on the truth of the cradle and the truth of the cross the first time you heard it? Friend, you know the truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ has gone forth across this great nation. from Lubeck, Maine, to Cape Wrangell, Alaska, and everywhere in between. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul, he didn't get it the first time either, huh? But he knew the Scriptures. And when he put two and two together, boy, was he on fire for the Lord. Now today, you need not make the difficult journey to Bethlehem and Judah. But if you wish to make real peace with God, your heart must find its way there at once. You have heard the Christmas story year after year. The Christmas story is as familiar to you as the Old Testament scriptures were to the chief priests and the scribes. And yet, have you not acted on the spiritual truth that you know? What have you done with it? We shall leave off this point here for each one's careful consideration this morning. Through the example of these chief priests and scribes, many were led astray. If the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Jesus had this to say to the successors of the men in our text. We talked about what manner of folks were in authority in Israel in Herod the Great's day. Well, in Matthew chapter 23, we have their successors. And this is what Jesus had to say about them. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and they do not do. The next generation not only failed to act on the scripture knowledge that they had, but they went on to crucify the Lord of glory. When your children look at your example and they follow it, and they do exactly what you do, and they do exactly what you're doing now, how do you suppose they will do? If the worship of God is not a priority at home and in the church, is it any wonder if your children think that it's an unnecessary thing? If there is to be spiritual revival, it must begin with you. And what better time than at Christmas? Behold, we celebrate a birth. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And God wishes to give you, friend, the gift of the peace which comes from a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Amen. What did you come out here this morning to see? What did you come out here this morning to hear? Lord, may you impress the truth of your salvation, of your peace upon every heart here this morning. That all worldly anxieties and worldly cares will be crowded out by high and lofty thoughts of our Savior, who entered the world, whose birth we celebrate today. That thoughts of Him crowd out all of that other junk and not the other way around. Lord, that mention might be made at our table today as we sit down to eat with family and friends and loved ones. That the name of Jesus might be named not in vain, but in praise. God, be glorified this day. And may you ever be enthroned upon the praises of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.